3rd already. I know a lot of people took their Christmas trees down. One thing I can never understand, a friend of mine decorates his house like crazy, says he absolutely loves it, and then the day after Christmas, it's all put away. So anyway, this is the Joe Sixpack Podcast. Getting ready to start Season 4 in the Joe Sixpack Racing League for our truck series begins tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We have 44 drivers in the league this year, ready for that to take off. Thursday night, another new series will be starting for us. It's the Formula V Road Course Series. So if you've got an I rating under 2,500 and your safety rating is Rookie 2.0 to A4.0 and you want to race a road course with us in the Formula V, which is a lot of fun, give us a holler at Joe Sixpack Racing Facebook page and we'll hook you right up. Sunday, January 9th, kicks off our Season 4 for our Premier Series. That's the Next Gen Cup Series at 4 o'clock, broadcast on PTM Racing TV. Putting together a deal right now with a broadcaster for our Tuesday Night League, so we may be live tomorrow night, but definitely hope to be live by the 11th. You can pick up the Joe Sixpack Podcast live on twitch.tv and for download later on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, Anchor, Shoutcast, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, and YouTube. You can watch it here at twitch.tv for 2 weeks before they throw it away, and it'll be up on YouTube with the video and all the great graphics from our graphic designer for Joe Sixpack Race. It'll be up there forever. And then, of course, out in podcast land. Tonight, we have a very interesting guest with us tonight. Interesting concept. We have Tommy Cook. He is commissioner of MOA Esports Sprint Car League. And the interesting thing about this league is it's the esport brother of a live league out in the Midwest. And Tommy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Excellent. So we were talking about the weather a little bit before we went on and kind of got spoiled there for a little bit during the holidays. And then all of a sudden, wham, woke up this morning. It's 19 degrees and it's been lightly flurrying and all week long. And I understand it turned cold out where you are.
Yeah, it's it was nice and sunny on Christmas, windows down, 50 degrees, and the next couple of days after that, it kind of went down the crapper. It was I went home about 11:30 p.m. last night, and it was, I think, 3 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
We had a whole lot of snow.
Yeah.
All the snow was north of us, but it's, man, it is cold.
Yeah, well, Chicago got a decent amount, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yep, and my dad lives about 40 miles north of me. I'm around Springfield. He lives about 40 miles north of me, and he got like 6 or 7 inches. So, I mean, we really just missed it down here.
Yeah, just in time for airlines to come up with more excuses to cancel flights.
Of course, yeah.
I started naming the airlines today. I started naming them the cancel culture. You know, I says we booked to capacity knowing we only have enough crew for 70% of our flights, and we'll just blame the weather.
Yeah, sure. I mean, whatever you can get away with, sure.
I mean, think about it. You've got 10 planes, right? You've only got crew for 7, but if you sell out 10, you still got the people's money because all you're going to do is, if you don't issue them a refund, if they get tired of waiting for it, you'll just give them tickets for later on.
Sure, yeah.
That's a great operation if you can get away with it. So we're going to talk racing. Tell me, when did you first get involved in racing? How old were you and what series was it? And what just grabbed your attention to auto racing or whatever racing it was?
I'm going to say something that might make you groan here. I'm only 24 years old, so there's a kind of a recency thing going on in terms of some of my answers here. My dad loved NASCAR when I was growing up, so okay. I liked NASCAR.
Yeah.
It was a long time before I went to a race, though. But what really kept me interested in motorsports growing up was Monster Jam.
Yes.
Every kid's dream. So, yeah, I loved monster trucks growing up and going to Monster Jam. I went to so many of them, I couldn't even begin to guess how many.
So how old were you when you went to your first Monster Jam?
I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
How old were you when you went to your first Monster Jam?
Oh, man. The first one I think I went to was in 2003, so I would have been 6.
Oh, wow. 6. I was 6 in 1968. man. Yeah, so see, people in my generation, we don't, our motto is friends don't tell friends the 1980s were 40 years ago.
Yeah,
that was a great
generation. Yeah, well, I could tell you it feels bad that 2003 was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
it's like, no, the 1980s were 20 years ago. The 2003 was just like last week or something. It's crazy. Well, and now back when you're watching NASCAR with your dad, was it something that he was really interested in, or was it like at my house, dad was off on Saturday, mom was working part time, and we just put on Wide World of Sports and just watched whatever it was because it was sports?
That, definitely an investment sort of thing. My dad was still is, as much as he can be for not being an active driver. My dad is a huge Jeff Gordon fan.
Ah, okay.
I was a big Jeff Gordon fan as well. So, I mean, it was every Sunday. He was either watching it with me or he was at a friend's house in a different town watching it. So,
oh, gotcha. I mean, okay.
He was big into NASCAR, all of us were.
Yeah. I kind of watched whatever was on sports because you know, after you watch the Mets and the Jets lose all the time, even back in those days, it was kind of nice to see somebody do something and win. You know?
Sure.
So, have you ever, did your dad drive?
No. Nope. I really, up until a few years ago, I did not have any connections to, like, actual personal connections to racing at all.
So how did that connection come about? Because pretty much you're employed in the dirt track world, aren't you?
I am, yes. So I went to a community college to start college in Southern Illinois, actually almost in Indiana. And I transferred to a four-year after I got my associates there. And the first day of class, I sat next to a guy and I was looking at his shirt and I realized he had like a vintage, like early 2000s, 1990s Indy 500 shirt on.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. So I got to talking to the guy, and this guy's like he's like a dirt track announcer in Indiana. And he's like, oh yeah, I got our ESPN play-by-play position for college football. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Really?
So I started hanging out with him, and in the midst of, I think 2019 hit, he was like, oh, I'm going to go down to around Springfield. There's a sprint car series that I'm going to announce for. Why don't you come down and be our social media videographer? It's like, oh yeah, I'd love to do that.
Oh, cool.
So I did video for not even a full season for him, because at the end of the year, a guy named Ryan, he's the buddy I've been talking about this whole time. He got an offer to go on a Dirt Vision crew. So he'd travel around with Dirt Vision and do like the World of Outlaw sprint cars.
Oh, wow.
And so that left them without an announcer. And, you know, I was working for a degree in sports broadcasting, and yep. I was doing a little bit of announcing, like doing some basketball and like our pregame shows for football and stuff like that. So I was like, hey, you know, you don't have to look far for an announcer. I've never done any racing, but, you know, it's what I want to do. So I can do it. And I hopped in there, and I guess I've been okay because they haven't fired me yet.
Wow. So you're talking like it's a small world, because we're talking about you have also studied radio and TV as well, right?
Yes, yeah.
Cool. And then I had mentioned my background, started hanging around radio stations when I was 13. And
yep.
It was a, believe it or not, AM radio. Do you know what AM radio is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I have been a radio junkie ever since. We did a battle of the bands in high school. We had a high school radio station, and the local rock and roll radio station where I grew up in a small town in New York was huge. They were 2 hours north of New York City, so they kind of got a little bit of that influence, and we had a couple of their DJs come and be judges for our Battle of the Bands that we had to raise money for the radio station. And they
nice.
they come walking in with three guys from Warner Brothers Records. And I was like, wow, are we big or what?
Holy cow.
Yeah, that was cool. And then Then I realized there was no money to be made in small market radio, so I went into the lawn and garden field, but still did talk radio back around 2000 for 6 years, and worked, did a little bit of television, some voiceover work, and was writing for a newspaper. So it's funny, once the media gets in your blood, especially radio, it's hard to get out of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So how
yeah,
long?
And I, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, and how long have you been broadcasting full time? And for it was for, you work at is Dirt Vision, correct?
Yeah. So it's difficult to explain because I only work for one guy, but he has me doing like three different things. So
okay.
I've been the lead play-by-play announcer for the Mario Brothers Ford Mobile Sprint Car Series, which you kind of mentioned earlier was a.
Yep.
It's a touring 410 sprint car series here in the Midwest. We do mainly Illinois, but we dip into Iowa, Indiana, and Missouri occasionally.
So that's kind of a big deal.
So I've been doing that since the last three races of the 2019 season. So 2022 will be, what is that? I guess my third full season because COVID, or my second full season because COVID kind of ravaged the series in 2020.
Yep.
So, I mean, we got like five or six races in.
Yeah.
So then I do that. I've also this guy named Kenny Dobson. He's the promoter for the Mobile Sprint Car Series. He's also the lead promoter at Jacksonville Speedway. So this year I kind of did some business work for him for Jacksonville Speedway and helping him like promote and market and doing social media and stuff for him. And also we were a Dirt Vision exclusive track in 2021.
No kidding.
So I did our live directing and producing for the Dirt Vision stream. I think as of now, this may change, but for 2022, I believe I'm going to be the lead announcer here at Jacksonville Speedway as well. So, and not be directing.
at least
I hope.
Now,
I wanted to do that one time, do both of them at the same time, and it was hard. It was not my best directing work for sure. Or announcing.
Yeah. Which Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Say that.
Got it. Okay.
Jacksonville, Illinois, not Florida.
I was good. Well, there's a lot of Jacksonvilles. That's why I asked. Because I had another guy from, I want to say, Virginia or West Virginia, who was, he owns a couple iRacing leagues, and he did announcing for some dirt leagues, and he went all the way down, I think, to Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
Where he went, and I'm trying to remember his name, but he had just gotten back, literally about 5 minutes before we went on the air. So it was great. So, social media, how big a role does that play in your MOA there, the live version?
For MOA, not really as much, and I'm going to change that this year. I didn't do a whole lot for MOA promotion. We kind of. We shouldn't do this. We leave it more to the track to do the promoting, but
okay.
It's like, I mean, we can just as easily do that ourselves, and that's kind of been on me. That's been a little bit of laziness on my part. So, in theory, we should sell more tickets for them. They'd be happier to have us back the next year.
Okay.
And we'll see how that goes. But for Jacksonville, for Jacksonville Speedway, if you can make a big post and make a big deal out of every event that we have, you know, we're not weekly, but we're like bi-weekly, I guess,
okay.
Every other week,
yep.
Every, you know, a couple times a month. So
yep.
It's like, if you can put butts in seats, you know, if I bring, you know, five people through the gate with a post, you know, that's a good chunk of my salary there. Like I'm actually paying for myself to be there. And then, you know, anything else on top of that is gravy. I don't know how you quantify, you know, how you, if people saw your post and bring them in, but, you know.
Right, because there's
trying to do the best you can, I guess.
Because the Nielsen ratings haven't really been developed for online listening yet, have they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just do a pen and paper sort of thing and be like, hey, why are you here?
Yeah, we heard that guy. Yeah,
I think they'd probably get annoying after the third or fourth race for just paying the people that call and be like, oh, I got to keep doing this. This is more of a chore than coming to race.
Yeah, so I'm sure I'm telling you something that you already know. Marketing is expensive. using the traditional formats, and not yes. many people pay attention to, you know, terrestrial radio. There's one station around here I listen to in the morning, but when I'm out, you know, working in gardens or out with my doing my lawn care stuff, I still listen to AM radio, but it's all over the world, and I listen on my phone through simple radio or tune in. Because I just don't like the music that's played on, even on the classic rock I grew up with. It's the same songs over and over again. So, sure. Do you think social media can play a big role in being the leading marketing device for regional and small tracks?
See, I think it already is. I just don't okay. think some promoters realize that. Maybe they do realize it, but they don't know how to take advantage of it. Some tracks have it down really well.
Okay.
Now, Jacksonville, I think, is in the upper echelon of that.
Yeah.
Not because of me. They were already doing it pretty well before I got here. But it's hard for some promoters to figure out, at least.
Yeah. Well, a lot of promoters, they're still kind of old school, aren't they? Kind of like my age.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be 60 in March, but I'm proud of it, and I'm gonna fight old age every day. Because my wife says,
so you have a pretty good grasp on technology. You're doing a podcast, and we're together in Discord. I mean, I would have to explain those terms to my dad, and he is also 60. So
yes,
I think yep. you've got your feet head in the right direction here.
Yep. I don't know. There's this thing on, I'm still technologically backwards a little bit. There's this thing on Twitch called screen share, and See, if I don't have printed directions in front of me, when I get a new program like Twitch Studio, I was like, all right, how do you do this? And it's like, I'm a semi-professional photographer, and I still haven't figured out Photoshop. It's just some of the
Photoshop
stuff
is a mess.
It is. It's because there's 27,000 ways to do the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So what makes Jacksonville, like you said, upper echelon in their social media marketing? What do they do that you find that really works for them?
Well, I think what helps is you have something unique and exciting to bring to the people. That does half the battle right away.
Yep.
No, some of these tracks don't. I mean, they kind of have the standard run of the mill program week to week, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, late models are all the rage around here for whatever reason. I'm not a huge fan of late models, modifieds, and a couple different classes of them.
Yep.
But what we basically run a open wheel program at Jacksonville primarily.
Okay.
We've got an open wheel pipeline from 600cc wing micros up to 305 sprint cars up to weekly 410 sprint cars as well.
Wow.
And throw in, you know, a few marquee midget events every year, and it's.
Yep.
The footage and the all the graphics packages that come with that, I think they help sell themselves.
Got it.
But what it also takes is consistency, and also having a sense of humor. And
exactly.
I don't know if the humor always lands, but it's,
yes,
I think it's funny.
Consistency and consistent weekly or daily, whatever relevant posts about what's going on.
It's engagement.
It is so hard to get that across to people, because I was talking in one of my lawn care groups that I'm in on Facebook. There's, I think, 10,000 of us lawn care professionals, and they said, "Well, we're spending all this money on advertising." I said, "Have you ever heard of Facebook or Instagram?" So how do you get business that way? So I've got my own business page, and every week I post the plant of the week. And other than that, I'll do, you know, boost a couple posts, and it's all, you know, every Tuesday I hit this town, every Wednesday that town. And the biggest thing I learned in marketing is a concept called top of mind awareness. That's why they have naming rights on office buildings and stadiums, because every time you hear the name of that stadium, even though it's a football team playing there, it's Bell Stadium or crypto.com. And it's that recall. So when somebody says, where should I buy my crypto? You say, oh, crypto.com. And why do you know it? Because your stadium in your town is named, you know, crypto.com field or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get into iRacing. First of all, What was your first car you drove? Because I told you my story. And is it the car that you wanted to drive?
So, my first car was a 2001 Dodge Neon.
Oh, not much different than my 76 Ford Granada with the blue vinyl roof and four doors. And what if you had a car of your choice, what would you have chosen to drive? If money were no object.
Yeah, I picked the 2001 Dodge Neon because it was $1,500, and okay. I really wanted to drive a car and not have to ride the bus anymore to school. So that's why I picked that. If I had the money that I wanted, I probably would have picked a 2012 Dodge Challenger.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and
yeah, I have an uncle that works at a car dealership, and he always had a nice shiny Dodge Challenger out on the floor, and I always went and sat in them. And I was I'm never even gonna turn the key on this, am I?
Yep. I wanted a Corvette.
Corvettes would be awesome.
I love them, and what's unfortunate is I missed the age. If I were 10 years older, I would have been one of those guys working full time, you know, graduating in the 60s, and could have afforded a brand new Corvette in 1970, and being retired now, be the only people that still could afford a Corvette because nobody else can. It's either because I got one guy to take care of his lawn occasionally. He's got a 2012 Camaro. He just bought a Corvette. I said, "What did you drive when you were 20 years old?" He says, "Brand new Camaros and Vets." I said, "Lucky you." So I don't think I've ever embarrassed myself on the podcast with what I drove as a first car. So anyway, the car I wanted to drive, which I had the money for, of course I didn't have the money for a Corvette, it was in 1980, and I was looking at a 76 Nova. I think they still made an SS then. Two-door, and it was $2,800, and I'm like, yeah, I want that. But like I told you earlier, I made the mistake of bringing my rather stodgy father with me to go looking at cars, and he says, "You don't want that. That's only got two doors. You need a four-door car." I'm like, "For what?" And he said, "In case you go on a double date." And I said, "Dad, I'm a senior in high school and haven't had a girlfriend in 2 years." So I ended up with a 76 Ford Granada, white, and it had the vinyl door markings down the side, which were blue vinyl, and this great big royal blue vinyl roof, and it literally was the ultimate grandfather car of its day. I remember come pulling into school, into the parking lot, and everybody's like, "Oh, you're driving your family's new car?" And I go, "No, it's mine." And if they weren't laughing, they were saying, "Oh my gosh, where'd you get the money for this?" So... iRacing, when did you start that? Are you a COVID iRacer, or have you been on for a while?
Definitely a COVID iRacer, I would say. A friend of mine built me a PC. Around Christmas time last year, and I signed up for iRacing as soon as I got it on December 28th of 2020.
Oh, cool.
So I'm just past a year now on iRacing.
And what did you start racing when you first got on?
I wanted to do pretty much everything NASCAR.
Ah, okay.
That's what I did for a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a lot of pavement oval stuff. I still am primarily pavement oval now.
Yeah. How do you like their iRacing dirt setup? I think they put a lot of work into it. And from what I know about dirt racing, other than not being able to breathe after the dust clouds come through the stands and it makes my car dirty, is it seems pretty nice, but I've never driven on dirt.
See, also not being a professional dirt driver, just a professional dirt observer, I guess. I would say it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean it's so hard for them to try and nail track degradation, and I think they've done just about as good as they can do at this point. I mean,
especially with the way how quickly, even on iRacing, the track conditions change when you're on dirt.
It's astonishing to me that they can figure out how to do that, and I think they've done it. They've done it pretty well, honestly.
I would say so.
Yeah,
I know that there's some professional drivers that get on and they say, yeah, it's okay. I said, you know, then you got to look at it and go, yeah, but this is more of a simulator video game, not real life.
Right.
So what's your favorite series to drive?
I would say the NASCAR Gander Outdoor Trucks for sure. I've sunk a lot of time into that, not only just in like the C-Class open and fixed, but all my leagues up to this point have been NASCAR truck leagues.
Okay.
So I mean, all the leagues I've participated in, I've never actually operated a league before, but yeah, that's a lot of time in the truck.
Yeah, I do a lot of truck. I do the cup cars, you know, Gen 6, Gen 7. I love ARCA because that is like driving a tank. It is so, and I do it. It's so rarely I do it because I spend probably 20 to 30 hours a week on the Joe Six Pack Racing when I'm, you know, off for the winter, and I just I just come downstairs and hop on the rig and I'm going, oh, an ARCA race, okay, let's go, and then, you know, you're halfway through turn three and you try to turn in turn four and that car is not going anywhere because it's like driving a tank. And then once you get used to it, you're like, oh my gosh, this is like driving your grandfather's Buick Electra 225 back in 1980. It's a boat and it's just going to go where it wants to go. And it's totally different than the next gen cars. I love road courses. I totally suck at road courses.
I enjoy running road courses a lot.
And I usually run the Mazdas. I just started doing the Formula V. And Lime Rock Park is about an hour from where we live. And I get a chance to work over there on their busy weekends doing customer service and stuff and making sure, like, I think this year they had the Trans Am Series, IMSA, and then their Historics, which is old cars that are racing. And the first year I did it, I was driving these guys around on the golf cart. I always, whenever I went anywhere and I saw people driving golf carts, I says, when I'm 60 years old, I want to be that guy driving a golf cart. So that's what I got to do. And the feature car that weekend was Bugattis. And they had brand new Bugattis there in the car corral, and they had ones going back to the 20s and 30s that were racing. And I asked one of the guys, I said, what are you driving? He goes, oh, I got a 1920 or 1930-something Bugatti. And I says, it's about $2 million car, isn't it? He goes, yeah. I go, where do you get insurance? He goes, Lloyd's of London. And as soon as they find out we're racing, they only cover us for 20% of the value of the car. I said, so you got a $1.7 million deductible on your car insurance? He goes, yep. And it was like, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's insane. So your eSport version of MOA, how did that start and why? What made you want to replicate your live league online?
I wanted to start broadcasting on iRacing.
Uh-huh.
And I figured there would be no better way to start than to basically create myself an extension of what I already do in real life and put it on iRacing. So I ran it up the flagpole to Kenny, the operator of the MOA Sprint Car League, and he's like, yeah, sure. I mean, you might as well. I was like, sure. I'm funding it myself, but I've got the permission to use the likeness and mention MOA. So
That's cool.
I think name recognition isn't huge, but it's something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's the guys that have signed up already, there are quite a few people from like the central Illinois area where I'm from
that's cool.
Like, oh yeah, MOA. Yeah, I know what that is. It's like, all right, that's cool.
What does MOA stand for?
Midwest Open Wheel Association.
There you go. That was easy enough.
Yeah.
And has how many drivers you have signed up so far?
To 13, which is lower than I wanted for sure. I didn't know. Like I said, I've not done this before, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. And 410 sprint cars are kind of niche, so I figured it wasn't going to be popping at least for the first season here.
Mm-hmm.
I know you had and I can't remember his name now. You had the gentleman on here from the Apex Glass sprint car series, something like that.
Yep.
And I know he's got like 40 people in that league, but I mean, they've got like a whole pipeline, and they've got a, and they do the Road to Pro and all that. I mean, this is not anything like that. We don't have any sort of pipeline to go off of or anything like that. It's really just kind of building the whole thing from scratch, and it's been a challenge, but it's been fun and it's been exciting.
How have you been going about promoting or recruiting?
I mean, really just a couple of hosted races a week. Mm-hmm. Put one of them up for money, one of them up for fun, just like a little, hey, you know, $5 for if you can put up with our crap for a race session. And you know, I just pluck maybe two or three people a time out of those out of those lobbies, and slowly but surely we're getting somewhere.
Yep. And when does your season start, and are you still looking for drivers?
We are definitely still looking for drivers. Requirements have dropped a little bit just because we want to make sure that we have a decent field every week. So definitely still looking for drivers. I would say probably 1600 dirt OI rating. What was your other question? I already forgot. I'm sorry. Oh, it starts on January 18th. January 18th, okay. 8-week season. Eight Tuesday nights in a row, probably around 8 o'clock Eastern, I think, is when the lobbies are going to open up.
Okay. And you said, so it's 8 weeks and they have a playoff system, and how are you doing points, and what are your prizes, if any?
So for the the Moa Sprint Car, the actual Moa Sprint Cars have a kind of a funky point system. And I kind of wanted to integrate that myself into the Moa Esports as much as I can, because they use like a passing point system. And I mean, there are only so many things you can do, even with creating your own heat race format and all that on iRacing itself. Right. So I have to keep Moa points off site manually by myself. I don't use any other like sim apps or anything like that. So it's basically a passing points based points format. There's no drop weeks. There's no playoffs. It's just 8 weeks straight through, and the winner takes it.
On any entry fee?
$15 entry fee. Every race pays something to win.
Okay.
And at the end of the season, there's a points fund for the top 10 drivers in the standings. The championship is worth $250.
That's a decent amount.
Yeah, definitely. Second place, 150. Third place, 100. Fourth and fifth, 50. And sixth through 10th, 25. And then on top of that, you know, if you manage to win a race here or there, you get a little bit extra. So
wow, so your points, your prizes in the season go pretty deep all the way to 10th place?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
They only being less than 15 drivers in there right now, I'd say you have a pretty good shot to get your money back.
Not me. I don't drive well on dirt.
There's a reason I'm up in the booth and I'm not trying to slap it up in somebody else's league.
Season two in our truck league, we started doing 10 weeks just to see how it would go. And season two, we did every race on dirt, and oh my gosh, it was fun. Trying to do the rallycross course on a truck on dirt. Of course, you had to have damage turned off because you're not going to go over that jump and survive it.
Oh, no.
And
absolutely not.
We're having some practice races. I think we did it the one at Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken. And the track was so poorly marked. This guy's going like, where's the track? And all of a sudden, you look at him, and they're out on the main part of Phoenix driving around the oval, or trying to, before they disappear. So we said, all right, we've got to have damage turned off, because no one's going to survive the jumps. We're not going to do the Joker lap or anything like that. And then I says, guys, just turn on your driving line. Okay, it is embarrassing, but it's not broadcast, so... And then it was so much fun. And then we did the figure eight. And again... poorly marked track, but for some reason we didn't have the driving line on then, and I was in first place, and this was next to last race of the season, and the guy behind me, I think I was ahead of him by 20 something points, and we use ARCA scoring, which was 1 point for pole position, 1 point for leading a lap, 1 point for leading the most laps, 36 points for first, 32 for second, 31 for third, and then a point down back to 43, but we only had like 12 cars.
Right.
And I remember I got spun out because we couldn't find a setup that would work. We had to jerry-rig one because nobody in our leagues knew how to do setups. So we came up with a really jerry-rigged one that we just called Joe Sixpack Racing dot dirt or whatever, something like that, whatever it was. And it just would not work on the figure eight. It was like driving one of those off-road trucks, like the off-road series, where you got to use the handbrake to turn, stuff like that. I got spun around, and I had no idea where I was on the track, and I lost the championship because I ended up driving on the wrong end and got disqualified. But it was so much fun doing trucks Bristol on dirt and just getting the track getting so slippery or whatever that you're actually going into the turns, banging off the wall so you can make it through the turn without spinning out and wrecking. So it was fun. So,
that's great.
And then when we our cup league, we do Watkins Glen, and everybody's like, Greg, you love road courses. I said, yeah, but we can have 20 cars enter, and I'll finish 25th because that's how bad I am on road. But it is fun. So if somebody, so it's Tuesday nights, and it starts 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yep.
And I see you have a broadcaster. Tell us about your broadcaster.
So the broadcaster, like I said, I really was just kind of trying to use this as an excuse to actually get into broadcasting myself. So it's called Tyrum 200 Productions, which Ryan, the buddy that I was talking about earlier, created Tyrum 200 Productions on his own.
Oh, okay.
And he can't do it anymore because he's going to be under contract with a NASCAR team this year, actually, as their social media videographer.
Oh, no kidding. Which team?
Yeah, so he just kind of gave Tyrum 200 Productions to me, which is hilarious.
Oh, wow.
So he was more like an at the track, like social media hype video person with that. And I think I'm going to steer it more in the esports direction.
Okay.
And that's, so we just started our own Twitch channel.
Cool.
My buddy Matt and I are doing the broadcast. He's producing, I'm announcing. And I'm actually going to have to be adminning too while I'm announcing, which is
gonna that's going to be fun
because I don't know how to admin at all. But yeah, so Tyrum 200 Productions is really just me and a friend, and gonna be pretty buttoned up, I think, for the MOA sprint cars. But we like to get on there and do stupid things too.
Cool.
Like we've been running Pro 2s or Pro 4s at road courses. And just like ignoring the track limits and just seeing how hard we can push them and still keep them from blowing up.
Oh, that's great.
And, so doing stuff like that, like MX-5s at ovals and like pack racing MX-5s and Radical SR8s.
Uh-huh.
That's fun. Silly things like that, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's like when week 13 comes around and it's the Skip Barbers or the SR, what'd you say, was the SR8s?
Yeah, the, yep.
Yeah. And they're in the dark at Charlotte with the lights off.
Yep.
Or you've got the MX-5 and you got headlights running around. There's 40 or 50 cars on the track and they have the lights off on purpose, or they're racing at a track with no lights and you got to race in the dark. That's like fun stuff. So what?
Yeah, we try and keep that week 13 vibe going pretty perpetually, I think.
Oh, that's fun. My daughter's in nursing school, and she was in nursing school and ROTC at the same time at a college about a half hour north of us, and she'd come home totally stressed out, and I said, I got something for you. I said, iRacing. She, I don't want to do that. I go, no. I said, you're going to use the AR cars, you're going to turn damage off, and you're going to drive the wrong way around the track and just take out as many cars as you can. I set her up on it. She came upstairs 4 hours later when it was time for dinner. And then she had so much fun doing it. And as soon as dinner then we started having to sign up who was going to get on the rig, because my son races a lot, I do, and she just wanted to play Demolition Derby. It was a blast. So the friend of yours who had turned 200, tell me about which NASCAR team is he working for?
I think he's on with Tony Stewart this year, actually. So, and he's not just doing, he's doing a little bit of NASCAR stuff, doing his dirt as well, but then also Tony just started the NHRA team as well. So I think
he's got a lot going on.
What's that?
He's got a lot going on because he's also got the SRX series.
Yes, yeah. Tony is he's about as thinly stretched as you possibly can be.
Yeah, and he still owns Eldora.
He's doing it all. That's for sure. And I mean, doing it all pretty well too. I mean, it's hard to argue with the track record. I don't know how the NHRA team is going to be this year, but yeah. It's quite the undertaking. Even just, you know, it's like a 6 or 7 month turnaround to get that thing up and going.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I mean, to be competitive, like I'm sure he wants it to be.
Oh, of course.
It's going to be quite the undertaking.
Yeah. And then, of course, he still has Stuart Haas and in NASCAR. Wow.
Yep.
So what's your friend going to be doing for him?
He does like a lot of videos. Like he'll just clip together things from like a race weekend and make their social media recap packages, or he'll like week ahead videos to try and promote races, and then he'll do he'll make like sponsorship videos for them as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we could have done that back in my day, back in the 70s and 80s, but you would have had, you know how big the cameras, you've probably seen how big the cameras were back then.
Pretty big.
And everything was
not not mobile.
Everything was on tape, and you did your editing. You did your editing with a razor blade and scotch tape.
Mm.
And some ways, I think that's actually easier because we're talking about my technological wizardry here. When I try to put some photographs together, I can't find the files half the time.
Mm.
So I miss a couple versions of Windows when it was several Windows ago. I think it was XP, where every photograph you took or every document you made, there was a little file that said recent, and it's not there on Windows 10. And sometimes I just look at it and go, where did that go? So you will never see me doing any video editing. I'd stay on the other end of the camera or the microphone.
I'm glad I never had to work with tape, though. I missed that by quite a bit.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, the little bit of work I did with it. When I was doing talk radio, we still had the cart machines, which looks like the little 8-track tape things that you had all the ads on. And at least it was advanced enough where if you put the 3 tapes in that did like the weather, the news, and a commercial, they went one after another. And then we upgraded the studio and had everything on computer and had to make sure I knew where the files were at that time, because otherwise the sponsors would get a little bit angry. And
yeah.
And when you're in small town radio, everybody knows who you are, and it's not a lot of fun when you get in trouble. So starts in 2 weeks, and it's an 8-week season.
Mm-hmm.
And you originally had in your bio here 1750 for dirt, but you dropped that to 1600 I rating.
Yeah, just to try and field it out just a little bit, or fill it out just a little bit.
Sure.
And we've had I've kind of been offering like an exemption for people who actually run dirt in real life.
Okay.
I've got a couple of people in there with lower I ratings, but people that I've made sure, one, can handle a 410 sprint car on iRacing, and two,
right,
are actually real-life sprint car drivers.
Got it. So that's 1600 minimum, not max, right?
Correct. That's a minimum.
Okay.
Yep. A max, there is no maximum.
Got it. Okay. Because we have in our league no minimum. We were 2,000 max, but when we started recruiting, I think our season 3 ended in November, just before Thanksgiving, and then we just started recruiting immediately the week after, and we started getting a lot of interest in drivers that were around 2K, and a lot of our drivers were pushing 2K. We'd grandfather them in until a certain point, and then it's like, you know, I said to our, had an admin meeting, and I said, I think we need to go to 2,500 because we're not getting a lot this round of drivers in the 1,000 to 1,400 range. They were higher. And
right.
And our goal for season 5, which is going to start in May, is to have a development league for under 2,000 or 2,500, et cetera, like that. And then a more competitive league for 2,000 and up, or 2,500 and up. So we're just deciding which way iRacing develops the next gen car, or how NASCAR develops it so that iRacing can copy it and see which one gets the development league. Because right now, if we had a development league, it would be the next gen car, because they're almost too easy to drive.
And I don't get the next gen car on iRacing anyway. It's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, and I understand there's a lot less wrecks, but you can't draft. Bump drafting's impossible, and it is so hard to pass unless you get a second line going. But with all the COVID people coming in, it probably works. But then again, NASCAR doesn't have a track record with it yet.
No.
So a lot of us are waiting to see what happens and how soon iRacing is going to come out with, the 700 horsepower and the 4-inch spoiler on the back, a little less downforce.
Right.
So
yeah.
See what happens there.
Thinking as soon as those cars hit the track for the LA Coliseum in early February.
Yeah.
I'm betting it's at least going to change a little bit, and then maybe by the 500, that's when it gets its complete and correct overhaul.
Oh yeah, it has to be by then.
See how it goes after that.
Yeah. If they don't have it by the 500 or the first round of Talladega, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because I know there's a lot of excitement coming in there. So how does somebody get in touch with you if they want to join?
Well, you can find me on my personal Facebook, Tommy Cook. You can do that. You can look up... we just started a Facebook page. It's got nothing on it, though. I mean, I literally just made it this morning. So it doesn't really have a lot on there. It's Moa Esports. So you can message me through there.
Okay.
I thought I gave you a Discord link. I don't remember, though.
Yeah, you did.
So if you post that Discord link, you'd be more than welcome to come join us on the Turn 200 Productions Discord. And it's got all the Moa Esports registration and where to send the entry fee and all that on there, as well as a more detailed rule book and our points format and all that.
Oh, rules. How long is your rule book?
Rule book is... I just wanted to cover my bases. I made a 15 or 16 page rule book. I know that's not as detailed as some people make it, and I know it's a lot to read, but there's really nothing that complicated in it. It's basically don't drive like a dummy, and some basic paint scheme layouts.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's really all that there is in there.
Yeah, that's kind of like ours. We say long on fun, short on rules. One of the biggest things we have is of course it's a big testosterone battle on the racetrack, and even if it's your fault, it's not your fault. And so we go with to keep the arguing down, because it did get out of hand a couple times. We do what we call a one and done. So all right. You wreck somebody, and of course you didn't do it. It's the other guy's fault. You call him a dumbass. He calls you a dumbass. Then you get back to racing and take it private. If you want to talk on the radio, it does not go on our Facebook page. It does not go on our Discord. And if they keep doing it during the race, they get muted. And if they keep doing it again, they go to the end of the line, out of race, and then finally out of the league. And I think if I had to print out our rule book, it would be like a page and a half on 8.5 by 11. It's pretty simple stuff.
So the very first time in a league race that I took the lead and was leading, it was at Legacy Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd probably been leading for 5 or 6 laps. I was doing a good job, and then a caution came out while I was in turn 2, and so the caution is out, and it's apparently it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So everybody is yelling at everybody else, and the whole time I am coming through 3 and 4, all of a sudden I come up on this crash, and the guy behind me is not paying any attention. I can't call out to anybody to slow down for this crash,
right?
Because everybody's yelling at each other on the radio.
Exactly.
And so I get absolutely plowed by the guy running in second behind me.
Yep.
And now I'm a part of the crash, and I have to forfeit the lead to go take a fast repair, and I finish. I don't even know if I finished in the top 20 in that race.
Yeah, that's...
So that's like keeping the radio race comms clear is like a top priority.
Exactly.
There's probably 50 different ways to stress the same point in that rule book.
Yep.
Just because that's not even the only experience with that I've had. And it's, it's important to do that. Even the one dumbass rule, I don't even know. I don't even know if I'd put up with that at this point.
Well, what's interesting is you brought up the guy from Apex Glass. They have no rule. You just don't do it, period. And I said, what do you do then? He says, well, we have an argument room on our Discord, and if I need to go in and settle it, he goes in and settles it. And I said, well, how do you handle the people like that? He goes, no, we kick them out right away. Because he says, look, you know, because this guy, I forget where he was, but Apex Glass is owned by a friend of his on the West Coast. He's on the East Coast. Another one of their sponsors was, just pick a state, Texas. And he says, and we're broadcast. And he says, you know, with the social media world, all some troll in Toronto, Canada has to do is be on YouTube or whatever their broadcast is, and or somehow, and then see what's going on. And all of a sudden, he's writing bad Yelp reviews for Apex Glass in California and the guy down in Texas. So he says, that's why they don't put up with it. And I said, wow, I never thought of it that way. We had to kick one of our sponsors out one year. He sponsored a couple races for $50. He was Trading Paints Painter, or, you know, Painted Schemes. And he was out of Canada, and he just thought the fact that he was the sponsor of the race, that he could say whatever he wanted. And he's F this, F that. So we booted him immediately, and then he jumps on our broadcaster's chat room and starts in. So needless to say, he didn't get his $50 back. So he got booted right away. Yeah. Penalties, anything like that for aggressive driving or jumping the start? What should drivers look for?
I hate to penalize aggressive driving.
Okay.
I mean, intentional wrecking is one thing. And I should say also that the guys that have registered and the guys that have just raced with us and are not going to register or haven't registered yet, it's actually been really compelling racing, really clean racing.
Good.
I haven't had any radio infractions, haven't had to disqualify or even penalize anybody. It's been good, clean, hard racing.
Well, that's good.
So that's promising. But, I mean, I kind of have a, like, if you really pretty obviously have caused two cautions, you're going to get penalized. But outside of that, I hate to, you know, I mean, wheels are going to be misplaced in every series at every track, especially
on dirt.
That's
true.
It's tough to police that, and tough to have to make judgment calls like that left and right.
Right. So you look more for intentional wrecking versus someone that's just out there driving hard.
Yeah, and intentional wrecking is not going to be tolerated either. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So and like I said, we haven't had to deal with any of that. I hope. Knock on wood that we really don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
I would hate for things to go that direction, but you never know. People are going to be stupid. So.
It's racing, and like I said, it's a testosterone fest out there on the track, especially dirt. And
if you
we had so when we're vetting drivers, we have if we were an iRacing league, we would be close to like bottom split, but that's what I wanted because there was not a lot of good leagues for new and casual drivers, like a beer league type of thing, and that's what we've developed. And so we do safety rating of rookie 2.0, or no, license rookie 2.0 to A4.0, iRating of 0 to 2500. But the other thing I look at is average incidents that a driver has. And we had two guys that wanted to join in Season 3, and I went to their stats on iRacing, and I'm like, wow, these guys are really good. They've done, I don't know, 50 races this year. They've won 20% of them, and their stats were pretty identical between the two of them. And they were top five like 40% of the time. I'm like, wow, these guys are going to give our good drivers run for the money. Then I looked at their incidents, and their incidents were averaging like 12 and 15 per race.
They're
like,
my.
Oh, that's how you're winning. You're wrecking people or driving stupid. So I said, no. And they kind of asked why. And I says, well, I says, your numbers are good, but your incidents are too high. So we try to keep people like six or less.
Right.
You know? So that's what we do there.
Good Lord.
Yeah. it gets pretty crazy. So why don't you give me a wrap up here and say who you are again, the racing information, when you start, and kind of like a little bit of an outro here.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Tommy Cook, commissioner of the MOA Esports Sprint Car League, kicking off the series, the companion to the Real Life Mario Brothers Ford MOA Sprint Car Series. 410 Wing Sprint Car League on iRacing, kicking off on January 18th. Going to have an 8-week-long season. 8 races, all on Tuesday nights. Lobbies will open up at 8 o'clock Eastern. And money to win every single race. And top 10 drivers and points at the end of the season will all take home some cash, more than what they bought in for. Gosh, what else? There's more than that. $15 entry fee.
Okay.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Nope. I was just going to say your entry fee, but you got that. Cool.
Yeah, $15 entry fee, but, man, there's a lot to gain, especially right now. We have less than 15 drivers. So if you, want to come out and definitely have a pretty good shot to make some money, then please feel free to do so. We'd love to have you. It's, 1600 iRating floor right now, so for Durable. So yeah, okay. Come on out. We'd love to have you.
Great, and they can find you on Turn 200 Discord, your Facebook
yes.
page, Tommy Cook, and your brand new MOA Esports page on Facebook. Correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, Tommy, thanks. This has been great, and once again, we talked for more than 15 minutes. It's been an hour. Time flies.
Yeah,
it's just what happens.
Thank you for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
I love what you're doing with the Joe Six Pack.
Thanks.
I wish you all the luck here in your coming seasons, and I'm sure we will definitely do this again at some point.
Yeah, why don't you check back when your season's just about wrapping up? We'll bring it back on and see how it goes, and promote it again, and maybe you get you hundreds of drivers next year.
There you go. That sounds great.
All right. Hey, Happy New Year. Stay warm out there in Springfield.
Yes, thank you. Happy New Year to you and yours as well.
All right. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too.
Tommy Cook, commissioner of MOA Esports Sprint Car League. Rather interesting. It's the E version of the live version of MOA Esports Sprint Car League. 8 race season begins Tuesday, January 18th. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Like you said, the lobby opens up at 8 o'clock. Prize money for each race, points fund. First prize, $250. That's pretty good for an iRacing league with only a $15 entry fee. And if you're interested in racing, you can get a hold of Tommy on Turn 200 Discord page, Tommy Cook Facebook page. And there's probably a lot of Tommy Cooks on Facebook. Or you can go to their new Facebook page for the league, MOA Esports, on Facebook. It sounds like a lot of fun. Tommy and I have a little bit of we share kind of a background and interest in broadcasting, and it's always fun to talk about broadcasting and radio and TV like that. This is the Joe Sixpack Podcast for January 3rd, and our season starts tomorrow night. The trucks, 7 o'clock, will be at Dover. And that's a 90-lap race, 65% fuel, 2 tire changes, 2 quick fixes, 1 green-white checker if needed. And we're working on getting a broadcaster for that. I'm putting some final touches together with somebody. Not sure if we'll get him on tomorrow night, but most likely that league will be broadcast. Thursday night is our new league, the Joe Sixpack Formula V Series. And I don't have that schedule in front of me, but that starts at 7 o'clock. We run the Formula Vs. It's all road courses. That's a fun little open-wheel car to drive, speaking of open-wheel racing. And that is also a 13-week series. Still looking for drivers for that. If you're interested in running Formula V and you have a safety rating of rookie 2.0 to A license 4.0 and your I rating is under 2,500, you're welcome to join. You can find us at Joe Six Pack Racing on Facebook. We do have a Discord, but that's all for league information and league members. So you can look us up, Joe Six Pack Racing on Facebook, or you can see our ads and promotions on iRacing Leagues, iRacing Drivers, iRacing World, iRacing Community, iRacing Broadcasters. We're out there all the time. We're also on Instagram and Twitter. We were on TikTok, but I found myself wasting too much time watching all those stupid videos. And then our premier series, the Joe Six Pack Racing Cup Series, the Next Gen Series, starts Sunday afternoon, January 9th at 4 p.m. Looking forward to that, and that will be broadcast by PTM, Pedal to the Metal Racing TV. So if you're interested in that, it will be broadcast live there. Still taking applications for drivers there. We're pretty close to full on the Truck League and the Cup Series. But if you're interested in driving road courses, we're still taking drivers for Formula V. And don't forget our wonderful online store, the Joe Six Pack Racing merch shop at Cafe Press. Took out the Christmas ornament since that's over, but it's getting cold. So as you can see on the page here, we've got this really nice Arctic fleece blankets, 50 by 60 cozy fleece. Buy one for your significant other and have them wrap up and sit next to you while you're racing. And we also have the Joe Six Pack hoodie available in gray or white from small to double extra large. And 150 items with the Joe Six Pack Racing logo on it. And we also added today a bunch of items, the Joe Six Pack Podcast logo, and each one of our Truck Series and Cup Series. So there's about 500 items on there. You want to go out and support us, and $5 of every sale goes to the league. The rest of the money goes to Cafe Press and whoever actually makes the stuff. That's the Joe Six Pack Racing merch shop at cafepress.com/Joe Six Pack Racing League. And as we come to the end of the Joe Six Pack podcast for January 3rd, I want to thank everybody for that listens, and thank Tommy Cook and all our other guests. If you want to be a guest on the podcast, give me a shout through Joe Six Pack Racing Facebook on our page on Facebook. And as always, have yourselves a good week. Happy New Year, and we'll see you on the track.